Okay, today's daf is Brachot daf Mem Zayin with top Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Rabin ve'Abaye havuka azli be'orcha kad mechamre de Rabin de'Abaye. So Rabin and Abaye were walking on their way, and the donkey of Rabin went in front of the donkey of Abaye. Velo amra le nizil mar. And Rabin did not hold back his donkey and allow Abaye to go ahead of him. Amar medisali gaimer rabbanon mimarava gasle date. And Abaye said to himself, ever since this rabbi came from Israel, he's been a little bit arrogant. So when they got to the door of the Beit Knesset, Rabin said to Abaye, master should enter first. And Abaye said to him, oh, was I not master up until this point? You never let me go ahead beforehand. And so Rabin responded, no, it's just that Rabbi Yochanan says that when you're walking on your way, there's no inyan of letting someone go first. Only when you get to a doorway, you should allow them to enter the doorway first. When you get to a doorway that has a mezuzah, the eat mezuzah in the leib mezuzah alo elamata bit knesset bit nidrash the leib mezuzah hachinami de mechavdin. Well, only when the doorpost has a mezuzah. So if you get to a bit knesset or a bit midrash and doesn't have a mezuzah, you're not supposed to let the bigger Torah scholar go in first. No. Just say that what Rabbi Yochanan meant was to any doorway which should or is appropriate for it to have a mezuzah. Meaning any proper doorway, you're supposed to let the greater person go first. Amar Rav Yehuda Bereh de Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat Mishmei de Rav. En Amasubin Roshayin Lechol Klum Ad Shehitom Abotzea. Those who are reclining are not allowed to eat until the person cutting the bread eats. Yativ Rav Safar Vakamar Litom Itmar. So Rav Safar sat and said, no, the teaching isn't that they're not allowed to litom. The teaching is that they're not allowed to litam. Right? Same word, but just a slightly different pronunciation. Itmar, lemay nafkamina, shechavetam lemar b'lashon rabo. But what's the halachic nafkamina between teaching it that it was lit'om or lit'am? Why is he correcting the pronunciation of the statement? Does that make any kind of a difference for the Mishnah? What does it make a halachic distinction, except his rabbi said lit'am, and therefore he should be saying lit'am? Meaning you're supposed to say it in the same terminology that your rabbi said it. That's how the tradition is preserved, when you say it over exactly, and you shouldn't be changing things up, even though there's no halachic nafkamina here. Tanu Rabanan, shnayim mamtinin zelaze bekera, shlosha ein mamtinin. So you have two people eating from the same plate, and they're supposed to wait till each of them gets bread in order to start eating. However, if you have three people eating from the same dish, then you don't have to wait. Habotzeahu pushet yadot chila. And it's appropriate for the person who cutting the bread that he takes food first. Vim ba lichlo kavod l'rabo, o l'misha gadol emeno arashud biyado. But if the person who cut the bread wants to give honor to a rabbi of his or someone greater than him, so he's allowed to allow them to take food first. Rav Archana hava asik le libre be Rav Shmuel bar Rav Katina. So when Rav Archana married off his son to the daughter of Rav Shmuel bar Rav Katina, kadim v'yativ v'kamatin le libre. As he showed up to the house and started teaching his son some malachot pertaining to seudas. The person cutting the bread is not allowed to start cutting until everyone has finished saying amen. Mipi ha'onim, meaning from the people saying amen. Everyone has stopped. Rav Chisda amar mipi rov ha'onim. So Rav Chisda says, no, as long as most of the people saying amen have finished, you're allowed to cut the bread. Hamar le'rov ha'chama, maishna ruba da'akati lo kalia bracha, miuta nami lo kalia bracha. Well, what does rov have anything to do with this? Meaning, if the majority have to be done, if you're still considered in the middle of the bracha, as long as you're saying amen, and therefore you have to wait until you're done saying amen in order to start cutting the bread, so you're not cutting it in the middle of the bracha, then what does it matter if a majority are finished or a minority are finished? If some people are still saying amen, then you shouldn't be cutting the bread. Amar le shani she'ani omer, because I say kol one amen yoter midai eno elatoe, that you're not supposed to elongate your amen. An extended amen is just, it's dumb, there's no purpose. So you're doing something mistaken. We're not going to wait till everyone yelling amen for 30 seconds is going to be done. Tan rabanan ein onin lo amen chatufa velo amen ketufa velo amen yituma. Right, you're not supposed to say an amen that is chatufa, which is abbreviated, velo ketufa, which is cut off, velo amen yitoma, right, and not an orphaned amen, right. So, what is an amen chatufa? An amen chatufa is when it's when you don't properly enunciate the first syllable. Amen ketuva is when you don't properly enunciate the second syllable. And an amen yetuma is when you're saying amen to a bracha and you're not sure which bracha was said. V'lo yizrok bracha mepiv, right? And you shouldn't just casually say amen without thinking about it, right? As if it was like a burden to you. You have to do this. Ben Azai omer kolone amen yetoma, you banav yetom. So Ben Azai wanted to convey the severity of not saying amen properly, whether you don't properly enunciate the first syllable, the second syllable, or whether whether you just answer amen because you hear other people saying amen, but you have no idea when they're saying amen too. So he says, if you answer an amen that is yetoma, I mean, you say amen without knowing what bracha you're saying it, your children are going to be yetomim. Chatufa yitchatvu yamav. And if you say an amen chatufa and abbreviated, so then your days are going to be abbreviated, right? Chatufa yitchatvu yamav, right? And if you're And if you say an amen katufa, then your days are going to be abridged. And anyone who extends his amen, so his life and his days are extended, but obviously not too much, as we said earlier. Rav Shmuel, havu iyatvi besudata. So Rav and Shmuel are reading a meal. Ata Rav Shimi bar Chiya, hava kamisarev ve'achil. Amar le, Rav, mabadatcha leitz terufe behadan, ananachlina anlan. Right? So, Rav and Shmuel are eating a meal. And Rav Shimon bar Chiya comes and he hurries up and he starts eating. And it looks like he's because he wants to join them in for mezumin. And so Rav says, what are you hurrying for? Are you trying to join us to make a mezumin? Because you see that two of us are eating here. We're done with our meal. You can't join us at this point. Amar le Shmuel, then Shmuel said to Rav, Ilu maitilan ardilia ugozla la'aba mi lo achlan. But one second, if someone would bring us right now some sort of delicacy, right? Wouldn't we still eat it? Or a truffle or a pigeon are the two examples they brought. We would still eat that right now. Meaning, we're done because we're out of food, not because, you know, we've decided to stop eating, in which case our suda isn't actually over, and therefore he can still eat and join us. Tamidei de Rav havu yatzi besudata al Rav Acha amri ata gavar rabba dmvarichlan. Right, so the students of Rav were eating a meal, and then Rav Acha walked in, and the students said, oh, now a great man has come that he could make the bracha for us. He should lead the benching. Amalu misvaritu de gadol mivarech ikha shebesuda mivarech. Right, do you hold that the greatest person there is supposed to make the bracha? No, the person who's supposed to make the bracha is supposed to come from those who are actually sitting down and eating. Meaning, the person leading the benching should be a person who was part of the meal, not just someone who came afterward and was mitzdarif and had a kazayit. Vilchata gadol mivarek, avagav da'ata levasof. But actually, the halacha says the Gemara is that the greatest person there is supposed to make the bracha, even if he really only came at the end. Achal demai. So you ate demai, you ate, suffix status, food. Meaning, you're not sure if the amaretz took the proper trumot and meiser. Halo chazilei. But one second, if you ate demai, you're allowed to be mitzaref to mezumin. That's what we said earlier from the Mishnah. If you ate demai, you're allowed to be mitzaref for a mezumin, but you weren't allowed to eat demai. Right? You're not allowed to eat demai, so why would you be allowed to join in this mezumin? Kevan de'ibai mifkarlu nichzei v'have ani v'chazile. It's because even though you're not allowed to eat demai, it's not something that is intrinsically usur. It's something that is just situationally prohibited. Because truma is something that's intrinsically usur. You are not allowed to eat truma. However, there are instances where you're allowed to eat demai. For example, if you're poor, you're allowed to eat demai. Oh, but you're not poor, so what does it matter? Because it's in your hands to be poor. Meaning, you can essentially say that all my property is hefker, it's ownerless, I don't own anything, and now all of a sudden you're poor. And even if you don't do that, that's not the point. We're not asking, are you poor at this moment? We're asking, is this demai intrinsically prohibited to you, or is it circumstantially prohibited to you? And if it's only circumstantially prohibited to you, then what you're doing, even though you're not supposed to be eating it, what you're doing is not intrinsically usur, such that it would preclude you from joining a mezumin. Detanan, because we taught in the Mishnah, ma'achilin et ha'anim demai. You're allowed to feed the poor people demai, ve'et ha'achsanya demai. And if the leading government or whatever it may be at the time forces you to house soldiers in your home because they're in war, you're allowed to feed them demai as well. Right? And Rav Huna says that according to Beit Shammai, you are not allowed to feed the anim or the soldiers d'mai. Maser rishon shenatla trumato. Right? So going back to the Mishnah, we have this case of maser rishon, right? So you have the first tithe that goes to the Levium, and the truma maser that the Levium owe the Kohanim was already taken. Now, for us learning this is going to be a little bit confusing because when I explained the Mishnah, I explained it through the maskanas of the Gemara because it was very difficult to even understand the Mishnah without understanding exactly what we're talking about. So what we're going to find is that the maskana of the Gemara, meaning we're going to ask an obvious question about something the Mishnah said, and the Gemara's conclusion about what the Mishnah was talking about was how I explained it initially. So we'll go through it, right? If you ate truma, if you ate meiser, right, that truma, proper truma meiser was taken from it, you can join the mizumin, which should be obvious, right? Because what did you do wrong? Pshita, isn't that obvious? Everything was great there. Lo tricha ela shehikdimu bishvalim behifrish mimenu truma maser. No, what are we talking about here? That while, yes, you took the Trumat Meiser, right? The Levi took off the 10% that he had to give to the Kohen, but what wasn't taken? The Truma wasn't taken. Well, if the Truma wasn't taken, why can you eat it at all? And this I didn't address when I was explaining the Mishnah. If the Truma was never taken, then the Levi took from Tevel. That's Usser. He can't eat that. Why is this okay at all? No. Here's the case. It was still in the stalks. The wheat was still in the stock. Right? And the wheat that is inside the stock and hasn't been separated into kernels is not chayav and truma. So the Levi, even though he's not allowed to do this, did it anyway. He took the truma while it was still in his stock. But he took the wheat while it was still in the stock. And it wasn't chayav yet in truma. Right? Because it wasn't chayav yet in truma. And then, so he took it then, and then he separated the kernels, and then he took the Trumat and Meiser from what he had taken. That is the case that we're talking about, that even though you're not allowed to do that, technically when you took it, it wasn't Chayav and Truma, and therefore there's no Isser on this food, and then when you did separate the kernels, you took the necessary Trumat and Meiser, and therefore you're not allowed to do that, but it's also not an Isser of eating Tevel. What could the Rabbi Abau? Right, because in accordance with the Rabbi Bao, in accordance with the Shita of Resh Lakish, if you wheat that is still in its stocks is not become obligated in truma, truma gedola. Shneamar, as it's written, varmotem mimenu trumat Hashem maser min hamaaser. Right, it's written that you took truma maser from the maser, maser min hamaaser. Amarti lecha velo truma gedola v'trumat maser min hamaaser. Amarti le. So what was the Levi instructed to take? He was instructed to take Meiser from the Meiser. 1/10 from the Meiser that he received. What was the Levi not instructed to take? The Truma Gedola. And therefore, based on this Pasuk, Reish Lakish teaches that you can actually have a case where a Levi is eating food that Truma Gedola was not taken from. Because he doesn't have to take Truma Gedola. He's only commanded in taking a Meiser of a Meiser. A tenth of the tenth that he was given. Rav Papa, Amar Le Rav Papa Le Abaye. And Rav Papa said to Abaye, Iachi, afilu ikdimu bichri nami. Well, if that's the case, then why do we care that it was still in the stock? If the Levi is not obligated in giving Truma Gedola, only Truma and Meiser, then why does he have to take it while it's still in its stock and not obligated in Truma? Seemingly he could take it at any point, right? When it's piled up and already separated. Amarle, Alecha Amarkra. No, for that case, the Torah specifically addressed and said as follows. Mikol ma'asurtechem tarimu. Right? From all of your tithes, you must take. We should see that full pasuk. It'll help if you see the full pasuk inside, which says, Ken tarimu gamatem trumat Hashem mikol ma'asurtechem asher tikhu med b'nei Yisrael. Right? So, you're supposed to separate all the tithes, meaning not just the Meiser of the Meiser, but also Truma Gedola. But now we have an issue. Because the first pasuk we quoted made it sound like the Levi only had to take the Meiser of the Meiser. In which case, if there was no Truma Gedola separated there, then he's fine. right? And then we said, well, if he's fine, then why does he davka take it when it's in its stock? He can even take it once it's already been piled up and separated. Oh no, because we have another pasuk that he said that says he has to take all the proper trumot. Well, then we have two contradictory psukim. Umara ita hai idgan tarimu. Umara ita hai idgan v'hai lo idgan. Meaning, okay, so how do we resolve the stira between these two psukim? Because the second pasuk that says you have to take all of the tithes, that refers to dagan, grain. So it only counts when I consider it grain. And when do I consider it grain? Not when it's in its stock, only when it's piled up and separated already. So what we learn from there is that the Levi is obligated to take all the necessary tithes on grain, but it's only grain once it's removed from its from the stock and separated its kernels and piled up. Beforehand, it's not considered grain, and that's when we apply the pasuk of the Levi only has to take Trumat Maiser, but not the Truma Gedola. In which case, he's not allowed to, in which case, the only time that he would be allowed to eat, again, you're not allowed to do this Lechachila, but B'dievet, if you already did it, he would be allowed to eat from his tithe that Truma Gedola wasn't taken from, but he took Trumat Maiser from, if he had taken it before it was separated from the stock. However, afterward, then he's obligated in all the tithes. And so if he ate from that, then he wouldn't be allowed to join in a mezumin. Masa sheni vehekdish sheniftu. Right, so the second tithe, right? It's the tithe that on the third and sixth year, you have to, I'm sorry, on the first, second, fourth, and fifth year, you have to eat in Yerushalayim. Alternatively, hekdish, something that was consecrated for the Beit HaMikdash. Pshita, well, that's obvious, right? If you redeemed the value of the food, then that's perfectly fine. What was the concern we were even concerned for? Right, as I mentioned when we went over the Mishnah, that this is talking about a case where you gave the principal, meaning you redeemed exactly for what your Maiser Sheni produce was worth, but you did not add the additional fifth. And we can see from there that the additional fifth doesn't actually prevent you from eating it. It's just a commandment that you need to execute. Hashamash achal kezayit. Right? So the servant who ate a kezayit of food. Pshita. Well, that's obvious. If he's a third guy and he ate with them, then they have three guys eating. Ma'udatema, shamash lo kava kamash malan. Now, you may have assumed that the servant is, the waiter, he's walking in and out and in and out. He's not a set part of this meal. I don't care whether he ate a kezayit or not. No. If he ate a kezayit, even serving the meal, he doesn't have to properly sit with them. If he eats a kezayit in the context of serving them their meal, then he constitutes part of the suda. V'akutim is amrin alav, right? And the kutim who we spoke about, who were not sure if their gerut is proper, you're allowed to join them in for mizumin. Amai lo ye ela amaretz. But wait, why can we join the kuti, right? Because the kuti is no better than just a standard amaretz, right? Because the kuti doesn't properly keep the halachas. And you're not allowed to include an ama aretz in a mezumin. So why would it be that we would include a mezumin, right? I mean, the ama aretz, who we know does not keep a number of halachot that he needs to keep, isn't included in the mezumin. In which case, the kuti, who we know doesn't keep a number of halachot that he needs to keep, so all the more so he shouldn't be considered. Meaning, even if you hold that his conversion is perfectly proper, Abaye amar bekuti chaver. Abaye says, yeah, we're talking about a kuti, he's a tamid chacham. That's his parentage in Achinami, but he decided to keep all the halachot. Rabba amar afil tema bekuti amaret. Rabba says, no, even you can say that we're talking about a kuti amaret. Vecha mayaskinan, or vehacha be amaret derabbanon, de pligyele derabbi meir. Right? And here we're talking about an ama aretz in accordance with the Rabbanan. Okay, well, we're going by, meaning you could say that we're talking about a kuti, who's not a kuti chaver, he's not a talmid chacham, he's a kuti and he's an ama aretz, but we're talking about, we're davka using the Rabbanan's definition for an ama aretz in the context of who you can't join into a mezumin. Okay, well, what is the Rabbanan's definition of an ama aretz for determining who you can't allow to join into a mezumin? Well, okay, they have a machloka with Rabbi Meir. Detanya, ezehu amaretz, kol she'eino ochel chulav be'tahara. Right, so according to Rabbi Meir, anyone who doesn't eat their food in a proper tahara, and who eat their chulin produce in proper state of purity, is an amaretz. V'chamim omrim, kol she'eino ma'aser perotav karo'i. V'anikutai asure ma'asure. Right? And so what did the Rabbanan hold? That an Ama Aretz is anyone who doesn't take the proper tithes from his produce. But the Kutim, they take proper tithes from their produce. So essentially, if you hold by the Rabbanan's explanation, by the Rabbanan's shita of an Am Haaretz, right, then the Rabbanan define an Am Haaretz as someone who doesn't take tithes. But the Kutim take tithes. I don't know the Kutim take tithes because it's written in the Torah. You have to take tithes. And the Kutim followed the Torah Shebichtav. So only Torah Shebaal Peh they didn't follow. In which case, and we have the statement that whatever mitzvah that most of the Kutim took upon themselves, they were actually more careful about it than your average Jew would be careful about it. Now the Kutim didn't keep every halacha, but the ones they did, they kept very, very strictly. And because this is in the Torah, we trust that they're doing it properly. In which case, you can even hold that it's a kuti ama aretz we're dealing with here. Still, you're allowed to include him in mizumin, because when we say ama aretz, what we mean is the ama aretz that the Rabbanan defined as an ama aretz who doesn't take meiser. But this kuti, he takes meiser, and therefore he can be included in a mizumin. Tana Ran ezehu ama aretz. So the rabbis elaborate now on what is an ama aretz. Kol she'eno koro kriyat shema arbi b'shachari. Divir Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says, it's anyone who doesn't say kriyat shema in the morning and the evening. Rishu says, it's anyone who doesn't put on tefillin. Ben Azai Omer, Kol She'en No Tzitzit, the big door. Ben Azai says, it's someone who doesn't have tzitzit on his clothes. Rav Natan Omer, Kol She'en Mezuzah Al Pitcho. Right? Someone who doesn't have a mezuzah on his doorpost. Rav Natan Bar Yosef Omer, Kol She'esh Lo Banim, Ben Megadlam Talmud Torah. Someone who has kids, but he doesn't instruct them, doesn't raise them to learn Torah. Acherim Omerim, and others say, Afilu Kra Vishana. Even if he learned Torah and he learned Mishnah, he learned Torah Shebichtav, he learned Torah Shebaal Peh, v'lo shimesh Talmud Chacham, but he did not work in the service of a Talmud Chacham such that he could be exposed to the behaviors of a Talmud Chacham and learn from his Torah directly, as opposed to just through Svarim or just by memorizing content. Hareza Am Haaretz. That's an Am Haaretz. In order to be a Talmud Chacham, you have to learn directly from the Rebbeim. Am Rav Huna, Halach Kacherim. And the Halacha accords like the Acherim. That is an Am Haaretz. Even someone who's holding, he knows Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh back and forth, but he didn't learn it from a rabbi. Rabbi Bar Chama, Lo Azmin Alei, the Rav Menasi, Bar Tachlifa, Ditani, Safra, Vesifri, Vehilchata. Right? So, Rabbi Bar Chama did not include Rav Menasseh Bar Tachlifa in a mezumin. Why? Even though he learned the Safra and the Sifri and the Halacha, right? Because he learned them by himself and he didn't learn it from a rabbi. He nachnan sheder Rabbi Bar Chama. When Rabbi Bar Chama died, Amar Rava, Rava said about him, Lo nachnan sheder Rabbi Bar Chama, Ela delo azmina Rav Menasseh Bar Tachlifa. He died because he didn't include Rav Menasseh Bar Tachlifa in his mezumin. V'atani acherim omrim afilu kra v'shana v'lo shimish tamid chacham v'reze Am Haaretz. Wait, why would he be punished for that? If he didn't actually learn, if he wasn't mishamish tamid chachamim, so I don't care that he learned Sifri and Safra and the Hilchata, right? He wasn't mishamish tamid chachamim, and the Braita teaches me that that's what an Am Haaretz is, and therefore he shouldn't be included in a mezumin. Shani Rav Menasseh Bar Tachlifa, Demash Melu L'Rabbanan, V'Rami Bar Chama, who delo dak abatre. No. Yeah, that Braita is right. Except Rav Menasseh Bar Tachlifa did learn from the Rebbeim. Just Rami Bar Chama wasn't aware and he didn't look into it properly. Lishna Achrina, alternatively, the Shema Shematzan Apume, the Rabbanan Vegaris Lahu. No, even though he wasn't Mishamish Tamirei Chachamim, meaning he didn't work in the service of Tamirei Chachamim. He wasn't the assistant of a Talmud Chacham. But he still learned from them. Meaning, we initially said Shimush Tamirei Chachamim. That literally means to serve from the Tamirei Chachamim, and you kind of just get by exposure all their Torah, which is nice. But what if you don't serve them? What if you're not working their service? What if you don't help them out? You're not their assistant. But you go to their Shirim and you hear it. Well, that's fine. That's what Menasseh Bar Tachlifa did. Achal Tevel U'maser. Right? So you ate tevel, you were not allowed to eat. Tevel, pshita. Isn't it obvious that if you ate tevel, you're not allowed to join the mezumin? Lo, tzricha with tevel midarabanan. No, because we're talking about tevel midarabanan. Right? What's tevel midarabanan? Hechidami, ba'atzit she'enu nakuv. Let's say you had a potted plant in the land of Israel. Potted plant that doesn't require truma because it's not deriving sustenance from the ground of Eretz Yisrael proper. But the Rabbanan say it needs, you need to tithe it anyway. But that's tevel. So if you didn't take truma on Maaser Oud, then that's tevel midirabbanan. Maaser Rishon, meaning you still can't join the mezumin, but you may have thought, well, tevel min derabanan, I'm allowed to. Kamash melon, that you're not allowed to. Maser rishon, right? You took, you ate from maser rishon that didn't have the proper truma taken from it. Pshita, isn't it obvious that if you didn't take proper truma gedola from maser rishon, that you're not allowed to join the mezumin? You weren't allowed to eat that maser if the truma wasn't taken. Lo, tzricha kagon shikdimu bichri, mauritema, kedamar le, rapapa le bai, kamash melon, kedashani le. What would you have said? Well, I may have said that, oh, you know what happened is that the Levi came and took his Meiser before Truma was separated from the grain that was piled up and separated. And if that happened, then I may say what I tried to say before. And that is, I have an explicit pasuk that tells me that Levi is not obligated to take Truma Gedola. He's only obligated to take Truma Meiser. And therefore, if the Levi went to the pile of grain and took his Meiser before Truma Gedola was taken, I have the pasuk that we quoted, it was the last line of the previous Amud, that suggests that the Levi doesn't have to take Truma Gedola, so maybe he's fine, and maybe he can eat it. Okay, so then why did I tell you that he cannot eat it? To teach you that it's like what Rav Papa said in response to him, which was, no, that's only talking about while it's still in its stock, not while it's piled up. While it's piled up, the Levi is obligated in all of the tithes. He's only not obligated while it's still in the stock, right? And that's why I needed to teach you that if you ate from the Meiser without the proper Truma Gedola being taken from it, you're not allowed to join Menazumin. Because you may have thought to say that, like we said previously, this Pasuk says that a Levi doesn't have to take Truma Gedola. No, because we're talking about when it's piled up, the Levi does have to take Truma Gedola. Maser Sheni. You ate from Maser Sheni. Pshita! You can't eat from Maser Sheni if you didn't redeem it. So rather, why did you have to teach me this? Lo tzricha shenifdu velo nifdu kihilchatan maaser sheni. Right? Well, you were poda'et, but weren't poda'et properly. What does that mean? Kigon shepado agabe asimon. Right? You redeemed your produce on unminted coins. V'rachman amar v'tzarta kesef biyadcha kesef sheish alav tzura. Right? So the Torah davka commanded you to redeem the produce with money that has a proper tzura, right? That is engraved, that's minted. Right? Or alternatively, you redeemed consecrated goods by transferring it onto the kedusha of karka, as opposed to kesef. So instead of redeeming something with 1,000 shekel, you redeem it with 1,000 shekel worth of property. Right? So you did redeem it, but you didn't redeem it properly because you're supposed to redeem it with money. Because the Torah says explicitly that you're supposed to redeem it with money. And the waiter who ate less than a kezayit, he also doesn't join. Pshita! Why did you teach me that? He didn't eat enough. No one is allowed to join if you didn't have a kezayit. I did tani reisha kezayit, tani seifa pachot mikezayit. Yeah, but you know, initially we taught in the reisha that if he had a kezayit, he can join. So for parity's sake and making it even, making the mishnayot kind of the seifa reflect the reisha, we included that bit in the seifa as well. It's not really to teach you anything. Vanochri in mezamin elav, right? And you can include a nochri in a mezamin. Pshita, he's not Jewish. No, we're talking about a convert who had a brit milah, but he's yet to go to the mikvah. In which case, you still can't include him in the mezumin. Right? So you're not considered a convert until you've both had your circumcision and gone to the mikvah. As long as you've not gone to the mikvah, you are still considered a non-Jew. You can't include women and slaves and children in a mezumin. Right? A child who is in his carriage, you're allowed to include him in mezumin. Didn't we just teach that you're not allowed to include them in the mezumin? Who the Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? No, it's like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Amar Yeshua ben Levi. Aval pisha amru katan mutal barisa mezumin alav. Aval osinoto snifla sara. So that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that even though we taught that you're not allowed to include ketanim in your mezumin, if you have nine people and you're missing one, you're allowed to kind of include the child in his carriage as a tenth person for the sake of saying a Kaddish Baruch Hu's name in a mezumen. Meaning, in Achinami, he can't join the mezumen, he can't complete the mezumen, but if you have nine and you want to say Shem Hashem in the mezumen by ten, a child in his carriage can count for that. Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, Teisha ve'eved mitstarfim. Right? So if you have nine people for a minion and you have a slave, you're allowed to be mitzaref the slave as your tenth. Meitive, we challenge the shita, Masav Rabbi Eliezer, Shenich Masav Beit Knesset, Velo Matzah Asara, V'shichar Avdo, V'shlimol Asara, Shichorin Lo Shichor Lo. Wait, you're allowed to include a slave to complete from 9 to 10? But we have the story of Rabbi Eliezer, who went to a Beit Knesset with his slave, and they only had 9 people, so he set his slave free, and he said, now we have a minion, and so you just let him go. Meaning, it only worked because he let him go. He wasn't allowed to join him into the minion. Right, what exactly happened there? Really, they had 8 people, and he had 2 slaves. And one of them he set free in order that person could be the ninth, and the second slave was joined in as a tenth person to be completing the minion, even though he was still a slave. You're allowed to do that. Ve'echi avirachi. Wait a second. How did he do that? Milchachil v'amar Rav Yehuda kol mishachar avdo over ba'ase. You're not allowed to set the if you let your slave go, you're over a mitzvah asesh nemar leolam behem tavodu, right? So your slave is supposed to pass down from generation to generation, right? As you're not supposed to set them free. Ledavar mitzvah shani. No. You're allowed to set them free for a mitzvah. Mitzvah be'averahi. Wait, but then that's just a mitzvah that comes on the heels of doing an avera. You're not allowed to do an avera that facilitates doing a mitzvah. Mitzvah derabim shani. No, when it's a mitzvah that is going to facilitate the obligation. Execution of the obligation of many people and not just one person, then you'd be allowed to do that. All right, we'll stop here.